The 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
I feel fine, and it's time. Anywhere you are and by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast, Grant. And the end has come for quite a few things in the last few days.
Yes.
And right now, one of those things would appear to be the Cowboys' chances of a winning record anytime. So,
yeah.
My goodness. The Cardinals throttling the Cowboys as we speak on Monday Night Football.
Why do you think you ever say that in your life?
Which, of course, is still going to mean they're in first place in the...
In the dog beep division
that is the NFC least. As the Cardinals running all kinds of fun stuff right now with Kyler Murray jitterbugging his way down
inside
for another potential score.
Cardinals first down.
Cardinals are going to dominate, have been dominating this game. The Dak Prescott-less Cowboys.
Yeesh, I really feel bad for them.
It's not good, but it's still going to wind up in probably a home playoff game for them. On the show tonight, the end for many things. We will talk about the end of the Vikings, probably, chances for a reasonable season.
Tank for Trey.
We'll talk about the end of my good pick streak. we'll talk about the end of any relevancy in college football for North Carolina becoming national champions anytime soon. And a more serious note, the end of Sid Hartman, who passed away at the age of 100. And the end of Doc Emmerich's announcing career as a hockey broadcaster. And, of course, also the end of the Atlanta Braves and Houston Astros seasons as they both get the Game 7s but can't quite get the job done. So we'll preview Game 1 of the World Series, Rays versus Dodgers.
Let's go, Rays!
And I'm all in on the Dodger blue, baby. Let's go. But more to that later in the show.
Something is wrong with you if that's it.
Well, probably so. But let's start with the place that, where the Viking season's pretty much come to an end. The National Football League! First pass of the game? Really?
Yeah.
Holy Christ.
They suck, and we all know it. So let's just
we
move
suck
on.
Again. It's bad.
With the eighth pick in the first round, Minnesota Vikings select Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State.
Vikings fall 40-23 to the Falcons. This stunning.
There's some reports of beef in the locker room. There might be a trade. I mean, beeps in the air. Let's put it that way.
Can I say, though, that for the record, that nobody does garbage time
better
like
than
Kirk Cousins?
Than Kirk Cousins.
I mean, if you were to read the stats at
he
the end of that game,
he is fantastic in last 5
343 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's a fantasy-worthy starter.
Yay.
So honestly, I mean, if you don't mind that the fact that your team has no actual chance to win any of the game.
But, which is his fault, so it's...
I mean, honestly, it's... We all know now Cousins is an average quarterback, and if he has enough talent around him, he can direct the offense, and he can make some plays. I mean, you got to give the guy credit. Last year, that Saints game, he was on target. He was in the zone, whatever you want to call it, and he led them to that win. Now, with a defense that can't stop anybody and has given up 40-plus points now in multiple games, and an offense without its best player in the lineup in Dalvin Cook, the lack of a secondary receiving target now has been a little bit alleviated with Justin Jefferson coming on.
The lack? What do you mean there's a lack of a
secondary
receiver?
No, I was going to say, that, but at the start of the year,
there was,
he didn't have that.
Not anymore.
But even with now a secondary, because people say, oh, Stephon Diggs is gone. Well, Jefferson's
been
putting up
good
numbers. So at some point, it has to come back now to a couple things. It's coaching and quarterback play. And I think it's a combination of the two things I just mentioned, but Cousins can't do that.
He can't put back-to-back winning seasons together. He can't. I mean, it's a Viking thing. You have one really fantastic season, and then you finish it with a really mediocre season, or a below-average season. Yeah, I've looked through our past seasons. The AP years, we couldn't put back-to-back winning seasons together. The miracle 2017 season, what happened? You missed the playoffs the next season. Why this franchise can't put back-to-back winning seasons together, or back-to-back playoff seasons with the talent they've had on this team the last decade, I don't understand what the hell is going on in Minnesota. Is it Zimmer? I don't know. Is it Kirk? Maybe.
For the record, Zimmer's had 3 straight winning seasons.
Yes, but only what?
Just facts.
Yes, he's won a couple division titles. But it's just like, maybe you should give up some reins in your staff, or maybe your staff needs to be fired because it hit.
To be fair, he's never been worse than 7-9, and even in his first season, he was 7-9. I ain't going 7-9.
And he hasn't been a terrible coach, but it's just like, I asked you why the Vikes were terrible, and you said coaching and Cousins, and I think you're right in both aspects. And you said the Vikings are poorly coached.
They do now, and I'm not sure if Zimmer is a talent evaluator, and this has got to be on Rick Spielman too. I'm not sure if you could have gone into a season like this, and if you knew that your secondary was going to look like this.
Why wouldn't you run and get one?
That's on you guys big time. I don't care how poor the
there were so many good cornerback free agents out there, and they couldn't sign any of them. You know why? Because we're in deep cap hell.
And you look at where we are in terms of the what we've lost on defense. And I get there's the bar injury.
The front four.
Yeah.
There's
Pierce. There's Hunter.
If Pierce, Hunter, and Barr were healthy, this team looked completely different.
All the parts I understand are not there. Totally get that.
Yeah.
So the other part of me looks at it and says, my God, you know, there are 3 undefeated teams left, and we lost to one of them by a point and the other one by a point.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I mean, and you lost a game badly this week. You're going to have these types of games. I get
that. They lost to a playoff team in the Colts. There's nothing to be ashamed about losing the games they've lost.
No.
But the Falcons, that's a team you cannot be blown out by.
This is where it starts to become a little more, It also, though, reminds me that Cousins is not the answer at quarterback. And I think that was pretty well understood last year in the 49er game, that even if you have all the parts around Cousins, he can't elevate his game to win. You can't say, jump on my back, boys, and ride me to the Super Bowl.
He can't.
Garoppolo did it with an extraordinary defense.
Well, all you need to do is really just hand the ball off. That's all you really needed to do.
So I'm, at this point, I think there's equal blame to go around. My concern is, what are we going to see in 2 weeks? Now, they shouldn't fire Zimmer. They shouldn't bench Cousins. Because there are no good alternatives to either at this point in the year.
True. It's Cousins or Sean Mannion. I don't want to make that
decision. Nobody thinks Sean Mannion win diddly-doo-wah squat.
Well, I agree.
League.
I agree.
So don't, Viking fans, don't give me, we should bench him and bring it. No. Why? You want to lose more? Sure. Who's the quarterback that gives you the best chance to win? It's Cousins. Okay?
Yeah.
Win what is now the issue.
Yeah. At this point, let's not lose enough. Like, if we went 6-10, good enough. That means you're a top 10.
That means you're 5-4, or excuse me, you're 5-5 the rest of the way.
Which sounds like a Viking team. So
sounds about right.
All I'm saying is, you know what? If you're in the top 10, you can draft your quarterback and you get Cousins off the books. You could. You could trade Cousins. I don't know how you could do that, but you could. You could trade him, cut him. I don't know how much dead money you had to eat if you cut Cousins. But I'm just saying is, get a quarterback and don't take a cornerback, take a quarterback, cut Zimmer. I'm looking right at Mike Zimmer on this. You are a cornerback-happy head coach. He drafts cornerback after cornerback after cornerback after cornerback. How many taken the draft? Last year, I think 4. I think it was 4 or 6. I couldn't remember the number. I'm so pissed that I can't even think of the number. I just don't like Zimmer's drafting strategy. You don't need to take a cornerback every damn year. It's annoying. Take a skill of need. Maybe corner was a need this year, and maybe so is quarterback after this season.
I don't think I'm not doubting his position of need. They're just, you can't have so many young ones in there at once, and that's what's killing him. Is while I think Gladney and Dantzler,
they're good talents.
Mike Hughes is now fast becoming Xavier Rhodes. He can't stay healthy or stay on the field. I think we've seen flashes from Hughes. You've got a very capable safety group with Harris and with Harrison Smith. But you can't have all that inexperience. They were down to four healthy corners this weekend. And
I want to put George Adloka back at safety.
I'm sorry, kids, but Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, even on a bad team. Sorry, Calvin Ridley. They're going to eat your lunch.
If any team has two good receivers, the Vikings are screwed. I mean, they are. I mean, if you would have a guy like with the Colts, if you have a guy like Paris Campbell who isn't that good, he could go off for 100 yards. It's just, if you're an experienced receiver, you can get yards on this Vikings defense, and I don't like it at all. I hate it. Yeah.
And I don't see it changing much, at least for the next few weeks even anyway.
No, but thank God there's a bye week next week. I have to watch this.
Yeah, at least the Vikes won't lose next week, so that's definitely a good thing as I look forward to the next couple of weeks. So, Vikes fall to 1-5. Again, bye week next week, so thank God we don't have to talk about them. We can worry about talking about other things. Give credit to the Falcons. They played an inspired game, and yeah, they're not very good, but they got the job done, and so they get off the winless schneid. Texans-Titans. Titans win it 42-36 in overtime. Best thing I saw all weekend. And you probably haven't seen this yet, but great sequence in the fourth quarter by Mike Vrabel, who is starting to fast become my favorite head coach.
Because he's a hooded disciple?
3:27 left in the game. Texans up 30-29. 2nd-1, Houston ball on the Tennessee 29. 3:27, remember that. 2nd-1, pretty obvious they're probably going to get the first down, right?
Right.
You would think?
Right.
Vrabel sends 12 guys on the field. Takes the 12 men on the field penalty. Or Houston does. Vrabel, of course, gets the referee's attention to it by gyrating on the sidelines and pointing. Mm-hmm. Intentionally puts 12 guys on the field. First down, Houston. What does it do? Saves 40 seconds on the clock from Houston running another play and running it down. Because you're down one. Even if they just kick the field goal, you're down four. And if they score, they're going to go up by 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which they do. Romeo Crennel gift wraps it by going for 2 and not getting it. Keeps him in the game. But Vrabel saved enough time with taking that penalty. And he goes all the way down the field and scores the tying touchdown with 4 seconds left. No way he is able to do that if he doesn't take that penalty. And that is totally a Bill Belichick type move. Remember the whole thing last year with the punt and the delay of games and stuff? Same rule here. He exploits it, gets off the field.
He finds the loopholes in the rules.
I love nerd coaching stuff like that. I love the way the Titans are doing it. I love Tannehill throwing for 350. I love Derrick Henry going 95 yards or whatever it was. And 200-plus yards. I love it. I love everything about the Titans right now. I love how they're doing it. Right now, they're the best team in the AFC.
No, they're not.
They are.
Kansas City is. I don't care. They have one loss. I don't care.
I'm anxious to see the rematch.
If Tennessee beats Kansas City, I'm all in on Tennessee. But until I see them beat somebody that's worth a damn, then that's what I'm looking at. I know they beat Buffalo. I know that. But Josh Allen has shrunk.
Don't give me the spoiler alert for later.
I'm sorry, but Josh Allen has shrunk in games against good teams. I'm sorry, Buffalo isn't that good either. It's Kansas City, Tennessee, and Baltimore. And
Kansas City ran the ball all the day.
Yeah. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that 37 fantasy points. Yeah.
Texans go to 1-5, by the way. Their season basically over, but Romeo
Crennel. It was over before this week.
Romeo Crennel's boys hung tough. The best Deshaun Watson's probably looked all year. in this one.
Yeah.
Colts had to struggle to beat the Bengals 31-27. This was an odd game, but I think, again, it shows that Joe Burrow
is good.
Is making progress.
If you get him some weapons, you give him more weapons and a better defense, he's going to be a damn good player in this league. I wasn't really on Burrow. I am now. He's really, really good this year. The more I'm looking at, if they fix the defense, they will be a really good team in a couple years. I think A.J. Green's on the backside of his career isn't playing as well as he used to.
Unquestionably.
Yeah. T. Higgins has been a really good find in the second round for them. It was a first-round talent, slipped into the second round. Tyler Boyd's a nice second option. I think they needed some better offensive line around them. Maybe a better tight end. C.J. Azuma's not the answer. Sorry. And he fixed the defense. This team could be really, really good in the future.
Burrow threw for 313 yards. Phillip Rivers, 371 and three touchdowns.
The Duck Connor threw for 300 yards?
T. Higgins, look out for him.
Yep.
He's going to be fun to watch. It's just a little bit, and of course, Pascal's triangle. Zach Pascal scoring. Rodrigo Blankenship doesn't miss anything.
No! He doesn't miss.
And interestingly enough, again, the Bengals had a good first half going, just couldn't. I'm sorry, the Cowboys are trying a 58-yard field goal, which means I have to watch. Wow, that looked like my wedge from about 60.
What was that? Wow,
Greg the leg, absolutely. That thing was ugly.
That looked like my miss hit my wedge.
That is a fugly field goal.
That's like my 6-iron going way right.
You can't hit a 6-iron that short.
Good point.
Anyway, Colts go to 4-2, Bengals to 1-4-1. Colts are going to be they're going to be around. They're going to be that team in the playoffs you don't want to play because they're going to fugly it up.
Yeah.
It's going to look like shit.
three points by 3 points.
Yeah, it's going to be death by run. Death by Nerdo.
Death by field goals.
That's the way that's going to be.
If field goals don't beat you, enough of them do, and that's kind of...
Well, it's like playing blackjack and hitting, and you hit three every time. Speaking of hit me, Broncos, using the hit me strategy... 18-12, the final. They beat the Patriots in what a weird game this was. All the Broncos did was go down and kick field goals. And they threw two interceptions in the fourth quarter. And they still won going away.
I like the meme I saw, Drew Locke. You know, two picks, a fumble. It's like the guy in the project that didn't do anything but still got the A. That's kind of what Drew Locke was.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything.
McManus goes 45, 44, 27, 52, 20, 54... And
2015-10-5, you know.
So big day for Brandon. Locke does come back. Throws two fourth quarter picks. Cam Newton looked kind of meh.
Yeah. Did he throw a touchdown pass?
He did not. He did score on the ground. The only touchdown they had was on the ground. Actually, it was good to see James White kind of back in a more functioning role in this game too. But weird game for the Patriots. They certainly didn't have anything that jumped out. They, you know, really didn't do much to distinguish them except turn the ball over a bunch of times.
Yeah.
So ugly win for Denver, which they'll take. Phillip Lindsay, your boy, at over 100 yards. Bad loss for the Patriots. So you can't lose games like that if you want to be a factor.
No, you can't. And it's just the Patriots, they're not as good as they were. They just aren't. It's just Cam can only do so much that your defense needs to step up. And the Patriots lost a lot of defense in free agency. And without Brady, without a defense, they're kind of eh. And Julian Edelman only had a couple catches yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't very.
He was a non-factor, and they just don't have a receiving threat. And their lack of weapons is finally catching up to them after all these years. Without Brady, they're pretty pedestrian on offense.
Edelman had 2 catches for 8 yards.
Yeah,
it's not good.
They just look so pedestrian.
Their leading receiver was White. Like I said, they don't have much in the way of wide receivers.
It's just their lack of weapons finally caught up to them. It's finally starting to bite them in the ass after all these years.
Speaking of teams getting bit in the ass, the Giants finally bit someone else in the ass. 20-19, the Gigantes win their first of the season, get off the schneid. Daniel Jones with a long run and a critical play at the late in the game. A scoop and score is really what turned the tide for the Giants, who weren't exactly knocking anybody's socks off offensively in this game by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But they hang on and find a way to win it because of that late touchdown on the scoop and score. As it was Tate Crowder that picked up a 43-yard fumble recovery Kyle Allen leads the Washington football team. I'm not going to screw it up this week.
Good.
And gets him all the way down, but then and throws a touchdown pass to Cam Sims with under a minute, left. And then Riverboat Ron, my man.
Oh, that pesky two-point conversion
falls. Kyle Allen winds up, looked like Easton Stick against Iowa in that two-point conversion there. Went all over the place, couldn't find anybody open.
Well, did his receiver fall down?
Well, no one was open. I don't know if it fell down or not. But so anyway, the Redskins. Oh, shoot, I did it. I couldn't bring myself not to.
Go to football team.
Giants go to 1-5 and get off the schneid, which means the Giants are going to gain a game in the NFC East race. Look out, they're only going to be a game back. You never know. You just never know.
The Giants get a home playoff game.
Speaking of the NFC East runners-up, the Eagles, they made a game of it against the Ravens.
It seems like they're not good enough to win a game, but they're sure as hell good enough to make it close. That's kind of what the Eagles are doing at this point.
Ravens win it 30-28. Might be the most unimpressive 5-1 team in the league, but
that's very true. Not quite.
Oh no. There's a team in Chicago that might argue with that.
The White Sox, right? The Cubs.
Right, the White Sox.
The Chicago Sky?
I don't think so. That's a WNBA thing. 8-1 shit runs for 108 yards at a touchdown.
800 yards, wait, what?
Yeah, no, 108. Madden. 108 like Madden. It looked like a Madden game out there. Lamar goes for 186 through the air, 108 on the ground.
He threw for 100 yards?
Yeah, I know, right? Wentz, 213 and two touchdowns. Miles Sanders at 118 yards, but then he got hurt.
Yeah, I'm like, is anybody left for him to throw or
well, he was off he to? Threw to, he threw his new favorite Travis Fulgham, and then he threw it to Jason Kroom, which I'm sure y'all have on your fantasy team for a touchdown
just
as well.
Just pick him up.
So really,
no,
he did not.
No, I'm kidding.
I was like, seriously.
yes.
You know what though? It just doesn't matter if they lose because they're only going to be half a game back in this race by the end of the night. It's ridiculous. So
this division is a dumpster.
If the Eagles get through this stretch and they get their receivers healthy, look out, baby. 6-9-1 is going to win this division.
Yeah.
And it might be the Giants.
And the worst division winner of all time was the 2010 Seattle Seahawks, were 7-9. So
you know what? There might be a phrase here. Someone ain't going 7-9.
Someone might be worse than 7-9 when it's division.
Holy cow, I can't believe that they're going to be that bad.
This division's ridiculous.
In the probably what we should have seen coming department, Steelers 38, Browns 7. Ugh. Every time I think I'm ready to
get on the Browns, and they do that.
Yeah, that was bad.
The Browns become the Browns for a week, I really want the Browns to be good. I knew they were for real if they would have beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, but under Mike Tomlin, they've never lost to Cleveland in Pittsburgh. And until Cleveland, it's just like they have this mental block where if they play a really good team, they just collapse. Against the Ravens, they fell apart. Against the Steelers, they fell apart. And yeah, they might beat up on the Bengals, but who cares? They need to be able to beat a quality. I think the Colts are the most quality opponent they played all season. They got to beat somebody better.
And it was almost the same score. They lost to the Ravens 38-6. Now they lost to the Steelers 38-7.
Tack on one.
So there's definitely a problem here that Cleveland has with when they reach the quality of opposition level that they do. That being said, they're still very much going to be a factor in the playoff race. But that was a bad outing. Baker Mayfield got banged up. Case Keenum had to come into the game.
Oh, Lord.
Our old friend Case Keenum. But all they could muster was a touchdown late in the first half to Rashard Higgins, and that was about all the offense they had. And again, I'm not saying the Steelers are world beaters here.
No.
But they're beating everybody they're supposed to that gets put in front of them. And now comes the game of the century here next week when they take on the Titans. Winner has control of the AFC playoff race and number one seed. Believe it
that's
or not.
Gonna be a tough one to pick.
Yeah, that'll be interesting when we talk. We'll talk about
we're,
that.
We're gonna differ on it. I think we're gonna differ.
Probably, but it'll be interesting to see what the opening line is in that game. In fact, for those of you degenerate gamblers in the audience, the Steelers are a 1.5 favorite at Tennessee. Oh yeah, give me some Titan money on that one already. If I'm getting the Titans end points at home, yeah, sneak preview. I'm taking the Titans plus the 1.5 if that line. I bet that line comes down.
Yeah.
I bet that line gets close
then,
to
even. Then they'll be pick them.
I bet it'll be good. We'll see. 1.5. Mark that down. We'll see where the line moves later
pick
on em. That. Pick next em. Week. Then they got the Ravens after that, by the way. So we're going to find out. I think it's very possible Steelers could lose both of those games and I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, no, I wouldn't be either.
One game that did surprise me, again, the Bears.
Why are you good? I don't get it.
23-16 winners over the Carolina Panthers.
They're winning games in the weirdest circumstances. And they look like the 2000 Jets.
This one was no different. Again, Nick Foles did just enough. They do just enough. Cole Kmet, by the way, who was drafted in, you know, one of the 36 tight ends that are on the Bears roster, makes a touchdown catch. Cairo Santos, knocking through field goals. Weird game. Bears just don't seem like they should be as good as they are. They got outgained. They got out everything, outrushed.
And won.
And they won.
I don't get it. But luck can always turn 10 on. 10
penalties, outrushed, basically even on the pass, turned the ball over once, but Carolina turned it over three times. And I'm befuddled.
Mark my words, luck can always turn on you. It's going to turn on them at some point.
Bears are in first place in the division. Let that sink in for you for a minute. Because of the result we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, the Bears are in first place, and that's hard for me to believe.
The fact that they're going to make the playoffs and get it just
it's almost inevitable.
I mean, can we just not have the NFC East participate in the playoffs? Because that'd be a lot better for all of us if they didn't participate in the playoffs.
On the flip side, at Rams, Saints, Titans, Packers,
0-4.
I think if you were a betting man, they're going to lose all four.
0-4. So what's the record right now?
5-1. So we're talking a 500 team by the next 4 week stretch.
Yep,
very possible. But then Lions
win,
Texans
win,
Jaguars.
Who makes their schedule win?
Packers again, of course.
Loss.
Don't forget they've got two against us.
Well,
they're at least going to split.
They
those.
Will split those.
So to me, they really don't have to get that many wins.
And well, I can't say that. I can't say they'll split because Kirk has never beaten the Bears.
Well, sure as hell not beating them on the road. That we know.
For guaranteed.
Cousins plays some of his worst. There are two stadiums that Cousins has complete kryptonite in. Seattle's one of them. Chicago's the other.
Amen. I think I'd argue Green Bay is in there too.
No, but he almost brought him back against Green Bay.
Well, right? We know how we ended that game.
It's a tie.
No, the other one.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah, threw a pick in the end zone.
Yeah, I know, but...
He throws picks in some of the bad spots. He's like Favre.
Like the first play of the game. Anyway, sure. Can't get over that. Anyway, Bears got lucky. Panthers are about what I thought they would be. A little,
They are who we thought they were.
They are who they thought they were. The Lions certainly didn't play like I thought they would. They beat the Jaguars 34-16.
It's the Jaguars.
Jaguars are migrating to the degree of suck that I thought they might
earlier. Well, they're going to get Justin Fields, so they're good.
How do you know? You're not going to show it Minshew Mania?
Minshew or Justin Fields?
Oh, my God. Andy Dalton just got killed. Oh.
Oh, my God.
It's a fumble out of bounds. How does he stay? The ginger rifle looks every bit as good as I thought.
Why did I pick him?
By the way, they mentioned Ben DiNucci's name on the broadcast tonight. Hey, you never know. He might be playing for these guys. But he might be playing for the... Can you imagine Ben DiNucci starting a divisional playoff game? It could happen this year. But they did sign... Didn't they sign Garrett Gilbert off the... He of the Orlando Apollos, I believe it was, in the XFL. So I would imagine he'd be the
Garrett
guy.
Gilbert, I think he's a Brown reject. If I'm
Ben
DiNucci. They're not sure the clip where Hendricks picks him off, but they're never going to show that play. So
I hope they do someday. Maybe when he throws a pick in the end zone, some ABC producer will pull that guy.
Yeah.
And Andy Dalton goes down again. Oh, my God, I love watching this. Andy Dalton is just getting murdered by this Cardinal defense, which sucks.
Hello, 911. I like to report the murder of a ginger.
Number 14 is spending more time looking up at the giant scoreboard than the fans do. I mean, it's ridiculous. Anyway, back to the Lions, who didn't do anything special against the Jaguars, but you really don't need to. And
DeAndre Swift had one hell of a game. But then it's just like, the Lions are going to win a couple games. They'll be okay in those games. They'll lose a lot of blowouts. Lions being the Lions.
Yeah. They're just such a boring team to talk about.
It's depressing to talk about the Lions.
Yeah, especially when they're better than you.
Yeah.
That's a tough part.
Well, I wouldn't put that too past you.
Speaking of better than you, the legend was better than me in this game.
I'm getting there.
Bucks 38, Packers 10.
Hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks are hot and ready to play.
What happened?
Hey, Tampa Bay, 1-2 weeks in a row.
Packers up 10-0, have the ball.
And blow it.
And Aaron Rodgers throws the pick six. Then on the next drive, throws another.
Please say that again.
Aaron Rodgers threw a pick six. And it absolutely stunned me that what happened.
He threw back-to-back interceptions on two consecutive drives. What the hell, Aaron Rodgers?
And then it caused, of course, them to take the lead.
And never relinquished
it. And then just they proceeded to pound them. And, of course, Ndamukong Suh got Aaron Rodgers' face and a little bit there. But, man, that was a bad
It was chippy, 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 chippy.
It was bad. And the Packers, with their, as dominant an offense as they're supposed to have.
Didn't look like it.
Just looked like shit. And I don't think there's a better other way to say it. They had 201 yards the entire game. Of course, turned it over twice on the interceptions. And, didn't help myself them by committing six penalties. Interestingly enough, the Buccaneers did not commit a single penalty and then not have a single turnover in the entire game. That's how you win.
Yeah, exactly.
That annoying one down it is. But
that too.
But that definitely, the Bucs were impressive, my friend. Yeah,
the Buccaneers, Ronald Jones has become a really, really good player for them. It seems like they've kind of forgot about Leonard Fournette.
Well, if Jones is going to run that,
why would you need Fournette?
Why not?
I mean, if you need a change of pace, maybe, but I think Ronald Jones has been really, really good for them. And to add that, I think Brady's starting to gel with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and now Gronkowski got a touchdown. He's finally blended into the offense. It seems like they're starting to get themselves. Anyways, their tight end depth. They have him, O.J. Howard, and Cameron Bray. Since I know O.J. Howard's out for the year now, but I mean they're just so loaded everywhere. And their offense, Tristan Wirfs has been outstanding this season at tackle. Their defense has been really good. Anton Winfield Jr. been playing really well. I think they're going to be good. And I don't know. It would be weird for later in the playoffs to see Rodgers go back up to Tampa in a playoff game and see how he would
play. Well, he's going to want to get to Tampa because that's
the Super Bowl
site. But yeah, this was ugly. And this is one of these losses that later in the year.
It's kind of like to bite them.
Well, that's a home field advantage kind of loss. And it might be a little premature to start talking about that. And again, as I mentioned before, the Packers now have a little bit of a bear problem. And I can't believe I just said that. But they've got to watch it a little bit.
They always have a couple games where they just stink up the joint.
Yeah,
this is always one of them.
Now, this was against a legitimate Super Bowl contender on the road.
I understand that. But they always have games where they just suck. There's always just a couple games here where they just are just terrible.
This was when it looked like they walked in the ground. They had the early lead. They looked like, yeah, we got this. And then they sort of let up. No. But then you realize that your primary wide receivers after Devontae Adams are Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Darius Shepherd. And no offense to Darius Shepherd.
Sorry, Darius, but you're not that good.
And Alan Lazard. And maybe they're just, again, maybe when things aren't completely clicking,
I think they rely on Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams a little too much at times.
Well, and Rodgers didn't exactly look off the corner on that play, and the corner made a great play on that touchdown pick. He read it, he sat on it, and he got it. And it looked a little lazy because Rodgers is so used to having that 8 or 9 yard completion.
Wait, to me, he seems like that he just takes those for granted. Like, I know I'm going to complete this pass. He has that look on his face, like, I'm going to complete this pass.
Yeah, and he never had one of those back-breaking, like, offside penalty balls.
Yeah, he's like, where's the flag at? Like, I was looking for one. It's like he just has that cool look, like, I'm going to complete this pass. And then when he doesn't complete the pass, it gets picked. He's like, what?
And as I've said before about Aaron Rodgers, he is the LeBron James of the NFL. If things don't go his way, he whines, and it's just incessant.
I just think that he's just really... He's just too confident and cocky at times.
And well, there's a fine line, as I've said, between, oh, Andy Dalton just got picked, and it could be housed. Let's watch him run. 50, 40, he ran into Zeke Elliott.
Don't cut back.
Zeke's already fumbled twice tonight, so he's trying to do his part to prevent turnovers. Nice job, Andy Dalton. You are every bit as good as
you are not the father.
You are not the father. And now, of course, they're going to the video screen. By the way, forgot to add this to my things of list I hate in the NFL. This stupid thing where they run to that TV screen and all do. Oh, now we've got a bowling celebration.
Yeah.
That's already been done. Sorry, we've all seen that one before.
also like the bomb and all those sorts of things. Like, throw the bomb in the air. And
what happened to the Nestea Plunge, man? That was my favorite one.
The what?
The Nestea Plunge. You didn't watch TV. You weren't alive in the 80s. You don't remember that. There was a commercial where you take the Nesty plunge, you drink a Nesty, it's so good, it's like falling into a pool.
No, but with the Viking ones in 2017, they did like Duck Duck Goose and
Leapfrog. Duck Duck Goose one was good, because that's a very Midwestern
celebration. No, Freeze Tag against the Saints in the playoffs, that was fantastic.
That sounds like, you know, we were talking about episodes where you have to do like the future Dorito rankings and everything. NFL touchdown celebrations will definitely be one of those categories. The anniversary show,
top tens.
No, that's not in the anniversary show, but which, by the way, is Thursday. Cheap plug. Anyway, let's move on. We've got to finish up the NFL weekend.
I'm only a game back. I'm just saying.
Dolphins 24, Jets.
Goose egg.
The same number as you and I did.
Goose egg.
Wow, they're horrible. I mean,
if they can't put up a point against the damn Dolphins, they ain't got no shot of winning.
You know, we talked about the Jets schedule and how this was probably one of the most likely chances to win they had.
Nope. Not anymore.
Not close.
No.
By the way, either.
No.
Joe Flacco, unfortunately,
I bet Sam Darnold was sitting on the bench like, thank God I'm not playing. He says,
I may be saying that in the near future.
I feel bad for Sam Darnold. I really do.
He's also going to get screwed out of a starting job when Trevor Lawrence takes over.
Yeah, he's a good talent. I just think he's been coached poorly.
Sam Darnold's going to be like Alex Smith. He's going to wind up going somewhere else and playing real well.
Yeah. Whoever that is, I don't know, because everybody has quarterbacks. Hey, well, maybe the Lions. Who knows?
And don't look now, ladies and gentlemen, but the Dolphins are one game back. And
they're above the Patriots.
Could be.
The dark horse AFC East contender.
A playoff contender. Sean McVay, we got some work to do.
Hit that horn! Gotta get a new horn!
They gotta hit the clock.
Gotta get a new offense. That was not good.
Or as Dave Campos, they gotta punch the clock, because that's what they gotta do right now.
Yeah, Rams, that was not a good line.
That was a piss poor performance.
And I know the 49ers, kind of one of those things where a championship team comes off the mat and all that fun stuff, but
that was terrible.
Jimmy G comes back and throws three touchdowns. Just not a very polished night for the 49ers, for the Rams offense. In all fairness, too, they got down fast, and they were down 21-6 at the half. Never really made a sustained effort to get back in the game. They did get a late touchdown, but you never really felt like the 49ers were in too much trouble, and that really surprises me, because it's not like they had a bad, you know, they ran the ball for over 100 yards, they looked good, but the 49ers just, I think, played up to their potential, and I was kind of worried they might lose a whole bunch of games.
For once, yeah, they did.
Now, flip side, though, they lost Raheem Mostert again today.
Yeah.
He's going to be out at least 4 to 8 weeks, is what I heard, so they're going to have to rely on the McKinnon.
McKinnon, yeah.
Yeah, the Miles McKinnon back, the backfield. That could be problematic, but George Kittle finally looked like George Kittle.
Yeah.
And Deebo Samuel finally looked like Deebo. It looked better.
It looked better for 1 week, but now that you're down to Jerick McKinnon again, who hasn't been good in 3 years, it's just...
Schedule's still brutal, though. Now, that game against the Patriots looks very winnable. And then they go Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Rams, Bills.
Loss.
So that could be tough.
Count it up.
Yeah.
Count it. Kind of nope.
Rams are going to be all right. They're still going to be pretty solid, but that's a big loss now if Seattle can maybe put some distance. But these division games for these teams are just going to be a war.
Well, the NFC West is a war. So yeah. Seeing what the Cardinals did, this division could go to anybody except San Francisco.
Monday afternoon football.
Wait, what?
Strangely enough, yeah. Chiefs and Bills playing in the rain up in Buffalo. Again, a COVID reschedule. Chiefs win at 26-17, and not in your conventional Chiefs format. They run the ball a whole bunch today.
37 fantasy points, five words there.
Had 161 yards. Bills, they had their chances. Stephon Diggs with a really nice touchdown catch. My boy Cole Beasley got into the end zone once, but too little too late, as Harrison Butker, who has struggled a little bit kicking extra points for some reason this year, banged through a few field goals, and then it was Travis Kelce catching a couple of touchdown passes. Your standard Chiefs 26-point effort with the running game. However, what I was most impressed with the Chiefs is that they ran the ball for 245 yards. And oh, by the way, Le'Veon Bell's on their bench. Not bad.
The Chiefs are lethal. I mean, I don't know how the hell the Raiders beat them, but it's just. The Kansas City is just so dynamic and so many weapons. They look like the greatest show on turf, part two. because it's on grass and in Missouri.
And they outpossessed Buffalo 37 minutes to 22.
But Josh Allen, what the hell, man? You can't win a game against somebody who's good. I mean, he beats all the great, he beats all the piss poor teams.
Allen's biggest knock has been his accuracy. He's got the big arm.
It always comes back to bite
him. But 14 to 27 isn't going to get it done. You can't. Now he ran the ball for 42 yards. It's still, though, an accuracy thing. And you can't sustain drives when you're throwing incompletions and that kind of. That's just not an acceptable completion percentage in the NFL. No. And, of course, you can't turn the ball over. He threw an interception. Not a good day. Now, again, the Chiefs are, as we've said, they're the class of the AFC. They're probably, right now, they're the second-best team in the AFC until we see what happens against Tennessee.
Yeah.
But the Bills, they can't really hang their head in shame too much. I mean, they have beaten the Rams. They've beaten the Raiders, which are two pretty good wins. The Dolphin win is good. This is a good football team. And now the schedule now goes for them, Jets, Patriots, two games they should win. Then they get the Seahawks, Cardinals, Chargers after that, and the 49ers. It's going to be interesting to see what they put together. But so far, I think the Bills are that kind of team that's they're your 10-6 still yep. typical playoff
and that,
team.
Well, that's Buffalo being Buffalo. I mean, they're good. They're not great at times. They're really good at times. But they just can't put together like a 13-3 season again. Like since the 90s, they just
it's gonna be tough.
They just can't record a really, really terrific season together. They can be good enough, but not really great.
And that takes care of the, as we said, the Cardinals well on their way
in
to
the red zone again. It's
of course, every time they are, they're in the red zone because
they have Cardinals.
Red uniforms. Yeah. But yeah, they're fixing to go up as. They would say in the South, fixing to go up.
The Cowboys are pathetic.
That's really bad. But so the while the legend does win the week, let's not make any pretense. Our picks were dog shit this week.
Hey, you know what? I'm a game back.
You were 5-8. I was 4-9.
Hey, you know that
going into we're both going to win this Cardinal game.
But that doesn't matter because I get plus one.
So the gap is down to one game between you and I. So we'll see. See how that goes on. On Thursday, let's move over Grant to the collegiate ranks. And it was definitely an SEC themed evening as Alabama
kicks the crap out of Georgia.
Comes back from being down in the first half and absolutely waxes Georgia again. Georgia's has got to be. I mean, really, they just got to sit there and they're like, what do we have to do?
I mean, Georgia tries so hard to beat Alabama, they just can't do it.
And it doesn't matter when or where.
They can play with Athens, it wouldn't matter. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, their boy Stetson Bennett was the key in this one, throwing three picks. Big sequence near the end of the half, though. The tied down 24-17 with Nick Saban on the sidelines, incidentally, who apparently did not have the Rona.
yes, he did.
They go down and they get a 52-yard field goal, which for an Alabama kicker is an eternity.
Yeah.
Because they're lucky to make extra points some years.
Yep.
Field goal is good, by the way, by the Cardinales, 31-3. And Will Reichard makes the field goal. And then they come out in the third quarter, and Jalen Waddle is a name you'll be hearing.
Danny Waddle. 90-yard.
He did waddle away for a 90-yard touchdown.
He got a jog the last 20 yards.
Devontae Smith, the other one, who's just – they're loaded. They're absolutely loaded. Of course, with Najee Harris, Alabama's going to be in the playoff. I don't think there's any question about
it. Yeah, but it's just, can they beat Clemson? That's going to be, I hate Clemson with a passion, but as you know, but it's going to come down with Clemson and Alabama, who is the better defense. I think Bama has the, it's really close between the two teams because Clemson doesn't play, I'm not going to say they don't play great opponents, but not the best opponents. And Alabama's given up 40 yards a clip against SEC teams. So I don't know how to feel about these two teams. This is probably the first time it's up in the air on those two teams. You know they're going to be playoff teams, and they're probably going to meet in the national championship game. It's just going to be who has the better defense on that particular day. I kind of feel like that'd be Clemson. I love Bama, but I just think I like Clemson just a little bit more.
No, I don't disagree with
that. And Travis Etienne is such a talent that it's just I mean they're not as low to that receiver, but they still have. ETN and Lawrence, they're gonna make the ship go anyways.
So Alabama's got a relatively interesting, schedule coming up. They've got Tennessee, Mississippi State, LSU,
Kentucky,
and then Auburn,
win,
and Arkansas. So I think they've kind of solved their immediate problems. Georgia, going to need some help if they want to get into the national title race. They did not get it from their in-state brothers, Georgia Tech, who hung 7 on Clemson. Unfortunately, Clemson put a 3 after their 7.
73-7.
That was an ugly, ugly game. Miami bounces back, takes care of Pitt, 31-19. Nobody cares. Notre Dame, valiant victory over
12-7, baby. Louisville. Let's go.
Ian Book running in the game's touchdown, right? Didn't he score the touchdown, I think?
They're the most overrated football team ever.
Number 4 ranked, right?
3.
Oh, 3. Oh, we're up to 3 now? Yay.
That's ridiculous.
So if the season ended today, it'd be what? Alabama, Clemson, Alabama, Notre Dame, and who's 4? It can't be North Carolina because they lost to Florida State. And really a bad loss. Florida State, not the Florida State of old by any stretch of the imagination.
That's true.
North Carolina couldn't complete a friggin' pass to save their life on the final drive and wind up losing.
Okay, so Clemson against Georgia.
Is Georgia ranked 4?
Yeah.
They dropped on one spot, huh? Yep. Well, that'll change.
Well, it's the latest AP poll. So Clemson would be the 1 going against the 4-seeded Georgia. The 2-seeded Bama will kick the living crap out of Notre Dame.
Be like the last time they played Notre Dame. That's not even close.
You realistically think they're going to win a playoff game?
Notre Dame has no shot.
Thank you. At least you need to admit game. That.
No,
much.
I totally.
You know what? You can beat Cupcake Tech all you want. That's really going to get you in the playoff.
Notre Dame has no business winning a game in the playoff. They're not good enough. But
thank you.
But like, they're probably going to get there, though. Now, here's the key. They got to play Clemson. And that'll be essentially like a first-round playoff game. That's going to sound really good on the podcast, by the way. The Irish have a problem. And
it's their scheduling? Yeah, that'd
no,
be it. Yes, it is.
It's their offense.
No, it's their scheduling.
No.
I'm kind of who are they going to play next Friday?
Yeah, I was going to say. I'm very can't believe you haven't looked at already about who they're going to play.
I'm very curious if they're on conference schedule.
Well, no, they're... See, there really isn't a non-conference schedule this year, remember?
Well, yes, but like next year, when they're out of the ACC.
Well, I'm not talking... We're talking about this year. We're not talking about next year.
Sorry.
So...
I'm curious.
Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech are the next two. That's a win. That's a win.
Dog.
And then it's Clemson. And
loss.
North Carolina could be an interesting game.
For
Notre Dame. Well, North Carolina's a quality team.
Yeah, I could get with that. But, okay, Clemson, loss. North Carolina, loss. They'll lose in 2 games.
Okay, well, that's fine.
So, I mean, I will never be able to take Notre Dame seriously.
The next game on the college calendar you circle as far as big national championship implications, that's it. On Saturday the 7th.
Next year's now conference.
Clemson against Notre Dame. And it's going to be at Notre Dame, remember.
Which one? Sorry.
Clemson-Notre Dame this year at Notre Dame.
Who cares?
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay, there you go. A worthy opponent. They play Ohio State in a couple of years. Loss.
I'm not looking at... Who cares about the schedule 2 years from now? Who cares?
I do.
Why? We're not going to be talking about that until our 3rd anniversary show. Anyway. Moving on. Other college games, and though we mentioned Auburn and Tennessee both lost. So the SEC pretty well in Alabama's hands, all things considered, in the process. Let's go... to the diamond. New year, same old Braves.
I feel bad for Braves.
I don't
fans.
Feel bad for them in one iota.
Because of 91. Come on. You don't mind.
I still see David Justice every time they're up to play.
You still beat him, didn't you?
Mark Lemke, Rafael Belliard,
Terry Pendleton,
Alejandro Pena. Thanks, Alejandro.
Yeah. Dave Justice, I already said that.
No, I already said Dave Justice.
Mark Wohlers.
Mark Wohlers was not on that team.
Okay.
Charlie Liebrandt. Thanks, Charlie. Give that home run, by the
Tom
way.
Glavin.
So it'll be the Tampa Bay Rays.
And the Dodgers?
And the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Overrated.
Let's go Dodgers.
Let's go Rays. I thought you'd like the Rays. They're all analytics.
Yeah, but not against my man, Clayton Kershaw.
Choke City.
Walker Buehler. What's my guy, Pop-Tart?
Justin Turner?
Justin Turner. Pork Chop, Pop-Tart. What is he called again?
Pop-Tart.
Pop-Tart. So I'm all in on.
Yeah, you can't even name probably half the roster. Yet.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, Grant. Let's see. Let's play. Can Grant name his own team's roster? Give me the Tampa Bay Rays starting lineup.
You can't name the Dodgers roster either.
I am just asking. Can you do the Rays lineup?
He-Man Choi, Austin Meadows.
Hang on. Let's get this pulled up here so I can see what we got here. Okay.
Okay, that's all I can name.
Have no idea who any of these guys are in this slappy lineup that they have, all right?
Slappy lineup that was the best team in the AL.
Yeah, you can't name any of them.
You can't either. So
no, here's where the only guys I could really identify were
Austin Meadows, He-Man Choi. Exactly.
No. Mike Zunino, who I saw on TV the other night doing the interview. God. Kevin Kiermaier, who's the best defensive center fielder not named Byron Buxton in the American League.
Amen.
And then Randy Arozarena, the rookie who has been hitting the shit out of the ball with his rookie home run records. Charlie Morton, who the former Stro, who pitched a marvelous Game 7 to give them the win. To get him out of this hole. And, of course, because remember, they almost choked like dogs away to the garbage can boys.
Yeah.
And that could have been ugly.
The garbage can boys.
So,
like the Cabbage Patch Kids?
Yeah. If you look at pure talent on paper, the Dodgers will win. I will take the Dodgers in 7. Clayton Kershaw to pitch Game 7 for a miracle redemption of all redemptions. And the Dodgers get their first title since 1988.
Are you high?
I'm high on Dodger Blue.
You're
baby.
A delusional Dodgers fan. Give me the Rays in 6.
Seriously.
Pitching wins over that stupid hitting.
Kershaw versus Glasnow, game one.
You're hedging your bets on Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs.
Are you
kidding me?
It's a new year.
That's what you're hedging your bets on.
It's a new year.
Are you kidding me?
No, I watched.
He blew a game against the Braves in their series. He can't win a postseason game.
Well, now's the time.
He can't.
He's never had a chance to do it like this.
He has, and he's blown it every damn time.
Are you done bounding on the table?
No.
The equipment's going to... We don't have a budget for what you're doing to the
it's
set
a
right
computer.
Now.
It's a computer. Move on.
So, I don't understand, because you sat here last night, and you told me that if the Braves won...
I would root for the Braves.
You root for the Braves, and I was going to have to root for the Rays. Because I can't root for the Braves. That's just not happening.
That series was a while ago. It was 1991.
And they've done just about as well since then. So,
at least they won a World Series.
Braves choked another series away. Had it 3-1 in their grasp. They had the Dodgers.
Don't you tell you why I hate the Dodgers?
No, you don't have to tell me.
Should I for the audience, though?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, here's why I hate the Dodgers. Have you seen the New York Yankees in the past decade? That's what the Dodgers are. They stack talent year after year after year, and they blow it year after year after year in a playoff series. I don't trust Clayton Kershaw. He's a choker. He's always been a choker in the playoffs. Look at his past decade of postseason experience, and he has sucked in the playoffs. Great. Walker Buehler can only win you what? 2 games maybe? Okay, great. You win 2 games. You can stack pitching on your talent as much as you want. I don't care. You are an underachieving baseball team, and Dave Roberts is a terrible manager. He's not a good manager. He's a Steve Kerr of the MLB. He just rolls the ball out and say, hit, pitch, field, go. That's all he does. Instead of that, it's just Curry chucking up threes in the NBA. I don't care. I'm taking the Rays in 6 games. They're a much better team. Sleep on me all you want, but I don't care.
This is so boring. Okay. See, people have already tuned it out. I'm like, oh, God, seriously. All right.
People agree with me. Give me the Rays in 6 games.
All right. Well, you're going to be wrong. So
Rays in 6.
Doesn't really matter. Let's sound like something we can both agree on here, that the best announcer in any sport,
amen,
is going to no longer be calling games.
No,
Doc Emmerich,
leave us, Mike.
Doc Emmerich going to be gone. He's decided to hang up the announcer's mic, and he narrated a short video about his retirement. I just want to play the end of it in case you haven't heard it, because it's classic Emmerich.
Which I haven't.
And let's take a listen to this real quick.
Perhaps in the future I will have something to share with you, but hoping you can stay safe for now. And like me, watch for the start of next season. I leave you with sincere thanks. Your hockey friend, Doc.
Doc Emmerich was one of the few reasons that I remotely gave a shit about watching an NHL game, because he was that good.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not a hockey fan, but if I hear him, I have to watch a game. I just, the way the man talks, Al Michaels is great. He's a really close second, but he's not Mike Emmerich.
No.
He has the best voice I've ever heard for a game.
The vocabulary, the versatility, the overall excitement, and the sheer knowledge of his sport.
The man was a Webster's Dictionary.
All came together in a guy who, if you looked at him in the street, looks like a college professor, and that's one of the reasons they called him Doc.
Because he's a PhD.
Yeah, a smart guy.
In communication.
Who could call a game, any sport you put in, and it didn't have to be hockey.
Who uses over 200 verbs to describe the puck during a game.
And again, in a sport where the action is so fast-paced, and Dom Izzo locally here has talked about calling hockey and how difficult it is, and how easy Emmerich made it look.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're going to find another guy like that. Now, the heir apparent would appear to be Kenny Albert, but anybody coming into that is going to have a tough time following that act. So kudos to Doc. We'll miss you. I will miss his telecasts and listening to him.
And his NFL games that he did?
Yeah. And he did a few Viking games back in the day at Milwaukee and Lambeau. It was just kind of fun to hear. Lastly, I know a name that your generation does not know very well.
I've never heard of the guy until he died.
And that's no surprise. Sid Hartman, legendary sports columnist. And I mean, like, the name of sports in Minnesota.
Well, he was the
close personal friend of Bud Grant, who actually announced, or it was the MC for the presenter of Bud Grant in the Hall of Fame. There was nobody like Sir Sidney. There was nobody that wrote like he did. He is an institution in Minnesota sports. Fittingly, his death shoved the Vikings loss off the front page of the sports section of the Star Tribune for one day. I remember as a kid reading Sid when I was in journalism classes and writing sports columns, and you'd read Sid, and he was an institution.
Did you ever meet him?
I never met
That's
Sid.
That's surprising.
I saw Sid from a distance a few times. I was near him a few times, but I do not have a good Sid story. There are so many of them. But rest in peace, Sid. And if you never heard Sid, and this is part of growing up in this area, there was a show that used to be called The Sports Show, and it was Mike Max, who's the sports director at CCO in Minneapolis. Sid, Dark Star, who might have been the most entertaining radio guy I ever heard, and Pat Royce, the columnist for the Tribune. And they would go at it for hours on this show, and this was just kind of an example of what he and Sid and Dark would fight about.
Can I ask you a question? Did you think they'd get the stadium?
Yeah. Why? Why?
You never said it was going to
get. Listen, let me tell you something. I said all along they were going to get the stadium.
What if you're going to take
U.S. Bank Stadium.
My words are twisting around into the lies that you tell. You're probably going to tell these people tonight that you got the stadium done, right?
I didn't get the stadium.
Is that what
done.
You're going to do?
You was the first. You never. I'll tell you what.
Let me tell you what.
I contributed a lot more than you did.
Love, Sid. Just argue the hell out of anything. This is about U.S. Bank Stadium when they got it approved back in 2012. So, just an all-around unique individual. And no better reporter, not necessarily columnist or opinionist, but reporter than Sid Hartman. That's close personal friends with Bobby Knight, Lou Holtz.
He knows everybody.
Everybody. He knew. He was the guy that knew. He didn't have to have a Rolodex.
He was the Doc Emmerich of
journalism. No. Emmerich's a talent. Sid was just a grinder.
He's you. He knows everybody.
He does know everybody. And he could get an interview at a moment's notice. He could find the guys to interview that no one else could get.
Like those athletes will talk to only a couple people. He'd usually be one.
You look at like guys like Randy Moss and Kevin Garnett. They revere Sid. They love him that much. That's how much he was important to Minnesota sports. So Sid made it to 100 a few months back, but rest in peace, Sid, at the age of 100. All of Minnesota and all the Upper Midwest sports fans, we salute you. That's one hell of a run.
I salute you. I don't know who you are, but I salute you.
I hope that if I'm still working at 100, man, I still love what I'm doing that much. That would be pretty amazing if I could work at a job that I love for that long in my life. Let me tell you that. Well, you know what? Next week, Grant. Or next Thursday. Or this Thursday.
This Thursday.
1 year. 1 year we've been doing this crazy shit.
I know.
Isn't that hard to believe? So
it's weird.
Thursday, we're going to celebrate the show. And 1 year since we started, and I can't wait. We're going to have a little fun on the we're going to do our usual previewing and everything else, but we are going to take a few minutes to reflect back on 1 year and almost 80 episodes of this, whatever the heck this is called, and it's going to be fun. But for now, we're going to call it a night. So, hey, whoops. Whoa. Wow, see, on the last, you know.
You know you're ready for Thursday when you can't even get
Get the closing of the show right. I'm not going to play the opening again. I don't want to confuse people.
Look at the Cowboys offense right there.
I know, I was just startled to see that they were. Just
a jangled mess.
You know what happened? They're at the goal line, which I haven't seen them at all night. So, yeah, so that's good time to end the show right here. Hey. Get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And you can check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for all of our previous shows. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Snapchat, @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok, @GrantLegend. And follow us on Instagram, @legend_loudmouth_pod. There's legend_loudmouth_pod. Yeah, if you like the show, hate the show, we don't care, just DM us, please.
Please subscribe to our show and
YouTube channel.
And YouTube channel, and please look us up. Thursday night, we will do the Legend in Loudmouth 1-year anniversary show. Hard to believe that it's come to that. But yes, 1 year, we'll be celebrating the first two victories by the Dodgers. It's going to be great. Yeah, can't wait for that show.
Two Rays, baby.
Look back at some of our best discussions and some of our best moments. Excited to spend that with you, and thanks to you all for getting us to 1 year on the show. Hey, have yourself a good rest of your Monday night, everybody. It's the Legend and the Loudmouth. See you Thursday.